CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It is Tuesday. I have to check. I'm a little bit out of it today. I slept, you know when you lie in bed in the mornings and you just want to, just 5 minutes more. I actually set my alarm for 5 minutes more. What a stupid waste of time. It's not going to make any difference, right? It's the dumbest move you can make.
Oh?
It doesn't help you, what, 5 minutes more? It's ridiculous.
I woke up at 1 this morning.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Did you get back to sleep?
No.
Oh, no.
And I still arrived here 1 minute late.
How did you get that right? What are you doing in the interim?
Just mucking about on my phone and then did some housework.
What is your morning routine? Like, how long do you need to get ready?
I need about 25 minutes.
Okay, that's not so bad. Yeah. It's quite time efficient.
That's feeding the zoo and doing that sort of thing as well.
How many animals in the zoo at the moment?
I don't know.
You don't even know.
Lots of cats, a dog, and a rabbit.
Does it sometimes feel like you're just wading through a sea of them?
When I arrive home,
it's like bedlam.
It's like a choir. Wow, 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 wow.
Wow, that's you're working on a hit song there with that choir. Wow, wow, wow.
Actually, the little dog, he kind of cries and goes.
So 25 minutes. Okay, so I imagine it means, does it shower every morning?
Yes. Wash hair.
Is it washing of hair? Is it brushing of teeth, obviously?
No, only every fourth day.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Just kidding. And
well,
you?
That's actually really efficient. 25 minutes.
Yeah, I can do it in 7.5 minutes.
No.
If I have to.
Like from waking up the door.
That's what Sia spends just on moisturizing.
Yes. No, I'll explain. Like on a where I've been late, where I've woken up late, I know I've timed myself because I've watched. I look at the clock and you panic and you feel that rush of blood to the
head. Oh, it's
horrible. And you're like, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. You run and you hop in the shower, and while you're in the shower, you're brushing your teeth, right?
Oh, clever.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So you're doing both at the same time. I don't wash my hair every day. I wash it every maybe second day.
Mm-hmm.
So that I can cut out on a rushed day. Then it's hop out of the shower, dry yourself off. Now your teeth are good to go. Your hair is good to go. Your body's good to go.
Dio
immediately, right?
Moisturizer.
Some kind of aftershave or cologne or whatever. No moisturizer. There's no time for that.
Oh,
okay.
No time for that. Then on with underwear, pair of jeans, some kind of shirt. I mean, because that's a formula, right?
Uh-huh.
You never need to think about it too much.
Mm.
Plain shirt, plain jeans, pair of sneakers, run down the stairs, into the car, good to go.
Yeah, I was thinking this morning, I blame conditioning and combing. That takes a lot of time of hair.
Mm.
And putting on shapewear like Spanx and putting on my bra. That takes a long time.
Well, they say that someone's morning routine can tell you a lot about them. I mean, obviously, the 7.5 minutes thing is the rushed. I would much rather do what I did today, which is take a little bit of time, hop in the shower, and listen to a theme tune.
While Leanne is listening to a choir.
Wash your hair. You can have a chance to go and look at what's in the fridge. Maybe you can make yourself a cup of coffee, or you can have some breakfast before you leave, which is ideal.
Oh, that's rare.
Yeah, it's very rare.
Oh.
But you know, this is how people, you've got to choose how you want to live, right? Because these are actually the things you do every day. These are the things that should be prioritized. These are not the things that you should, I'm rushing to work. No, work isn't your life. It's your life that you build around work. So actually, the way you wake up and the way you spend your first 20 to 30 minutes of your day should be up to you. Don't you think? And if you take that time, and I mean, it obviously means in some people's case that you have to wake up that much earlier because you can't start work later. You're not allowed to do that. Most people don't get to choose. So start earlier. Watch what happens. Like, it makes a huge difference. And on a good day where I don't have to rush and I woke up on time and I have a little bit, it feels so good. I like...
You just feel more in control, I suppose.
Yeah, and you walk around your house with your mug of coffee, your tea, and you look at the view and you take in the sunrise and...
Do you make your bed?
No. No. I mean, I sleep... I don't sleep in a whole complicated thing.
Starfish.
I've got a... I bought this thing, which is the most luxurious thing I've ever bought, and I love it.
Ooh.
I bought it about a month ago. It's a mattress protector and topper. You heard of that?
Oh, yes, yeah.
What is that?
It's like a very thin duvet, but you put it on top of your mattress. Thanks, Nola. Nola just brought me some coffee.
It's got like a bit of filling in it.
Yes. So it makes the top of your mattress super soft. It's like sleeping on top of a duvet instead of under it.
Yeah, for me that wouldn't work. I like kind of hard bed.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can have that. You can just get a thin one. But the point is it just makes it soft as opposed to, not poofy.
Yeah.
It's like softer. So when you lie on it, it just feels like...
Okay, it kind of cuddles you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've got that. So I sleep, there's that, then there's a sheet over that.
Yes.
Right?
A fitted sheet.
Correct. And then on top of that, I just have a very, very thin...
Dove it.
It's almost... No, it's not even. It's like a... It's like a very...
A bedspread.
Yeah, it's kind of... But a thin bedspread.
Mm.
And in the summer, I just sleep under that. That's it.
Ordinarily, you don't even cover?
No.
Oh. Oof.
No, I'll sleep under that. But I mean, like part of me, because it's always so hot in the summer, right?
Mm.
And then if I did want to make the bed, it would take me all of 2 seconds, because all I have to do really is that.
Yeah.
I don't have... And then, you know, just put the cushions in the right place, put the pillows. That's it. Keep it simple. Yeah. If you do that and you start your day like in almost a meditative state, I just think it helps. It makes you're happier to start the day. You're happier to not be rushed and anxious and, I got to do this, I got to do that. And the night before, it's always good. And again, I'm not telling you that I get this right every time. Sometimes I'm a disaster. And that's when I run in here and I'm like bleary-eyed and I look like shit. And
mm-hmm.
But on those days where I get it right, I also, the night before, have planned, this is what I'm doing tomorrow. I've got this meeting, that person I've got to see. I've got this interview. I've got this errand to run, whatever.
Mm.
I've got a like schedule. I love that. Then I know to keep that schedule and I know what I'm in for the next day.
Mm.
And I find something every day that's really cool, that's to look forward to.
Well, I was reading an article recently which explained that at nighttime when you get into bed, that's when your brain enters processing mode.
Mm.
So you've been rushing the whole day. You haven't really processed anything. You've just kind of survived.
Yeah.
And then it starts analyzing what you did that day, your feelings. You know, you might find yourself blushing because you remember a certain moment. You just start processing everything.
Right.
And it's going to carry on doing that and you're going to think too deeply about things. And that's when you need to just write down and say, okay, tomorrow I've got this, this and this. Today I did that. So I can now go to sleep.
Or that's when you need some wine.
Not while you're lying in bed. That would be a bad sign.
Says who?
No. Earlier in the evening, sure. Like if you've had dinner and you need to chill, by all means. Who's going to tell you how to live your life? But if you're doing it just before bed and then you're lying in bed with that glass still next to your bed and you're like, hey,
no.
That's probably a bad sign.
You need to call for some help then.
No, I can't do that. Otherwise, I would just drink it in the morning.
Well, you know how your computer backs up and downloads? That's what it is.
Yeah.
Because your brain is this big computer and it's trying to figure out and sort information.
Guess if you break it down that way.
One thing I can't do is plan my outfit the day before if I've had wine. Because in the morning, I'm like, what?
You're running around, huh?
Very poor choice in the morning when I look at what I'd planned to wear the night before.
Jeez.
I'm like, but you haven't worn that in ages. Why did you pull that out?
Yeah. Oh, it was a great idea at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think I'll wear bright orange tomorrow. I haven't worn this before.
With a leather jacket.
Yeah, great idea. You look at it the next day, you're like, what? Nola, you must have some interesting choices because you come in here every day as if it's a whole theme. I mean, you put a lot of effort in here and I like it. I like the fact that your hair is different every day. You've got these two huge buns now. You look like Princess Leia.
Actually,
well, thank you, Garrett.
I like it. But you always put a massive effort in. Do you plan that before, the night before, or on the morning?
Not really. Like, I try and wake up, you know, early so I can pull whatever. It's just like I said, I don't know how long ago it was that I don't... How I look really depends on the mood that I'm in when I wake up that morning. And that's how I'm going to look. So I'll wake up in the morning and depending on how I feel, I'll pull out whatever I feel...
But you don't have themes. You just, because some mornings you come in here looking like you're in a
really put together.
You're in a gothic metal theme. Nah, yeah. Some days you come in and you look like you are very like Eastern Cape Xhosa inspired. Mm-hmm. Some mornings you come in and you have this sort of very business like look about you. And some mornings you come in and you look like you are, you know, in an athletic
I've given
mood.
Up on life.
No. I mean, look, we all have mornings like that. Jesus, if I look at photographs, I'll never forget. There were a few interviews that I've done over the years with important people.
Mm.
And they were good interviews. But when I look at what I was wearing.
Right?
Yes. I look at them and I go, what the hell were you? You knew you were going to talk to someone important. What are you dressed like a fucking circus clown for?
You know? In the moment you thought it was so hot and happening.
You don't tend to wear outrageous
things.
No,
but just bad shirts.
And the way fashion changes. That's why on a very superficial note, I've decided to wear black every day. Because black will always be timeless. Mm-hmm. You'll look back 5 years from now and go, you look good. Do you remember, like, I think we've discussed this on the show, when that whole skinny jean trend was in and everyone had different colors. You had that fluorescent green and that bright red and that pink skinny jean. And, like, I went through that phase and I look back and I'm like, what were you thinking? Rather not. Just wear, gents, whenever you have a formal event, just wear a good tux. Ladies, you can never go wrong with a plain colored cocktail dress. Just don't overcomplicate your lives. No. Mm-mm.
Yeah, it becomes very messy otherwise.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, bad.
Yeah. Bad. Look, I mean, I'm not saying if I look at these pictures, I don't want them on the internet or I've taken them down or, you know, I'm not that vain and stupid. but you do. You look at some of these and you go,
Wow.
What was I thinking?
So, Nola, if you had to time yourself, how long does it take you to get ready in the morning?
Ooh, 30 to 45 minutes.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably all right.
Yeah.
That's not so bad. You see her?
Yeah.
2 hours. He's the one we left till last, so you could see how you are actually not mentally ill at all.
It's interesting. I first judged Nola for 30 to 45 minutes. But if I think about it, my first alarm goes off at 4:20. And I ordinarily leave the house at about 5:30, 5:35. So that's just a little over an hour. One hour, 10 minutes. Word.
What do you do? Mm. But here's the thing. That time?
It's, I factor in.
Do you have like 5 minutes of stretching?
No.
What are you doing?
I factor in sitting in bed for 5 minutes as crucial as taking a bath.
Okay.
Because I hate that feeling you were talking about where you're rushing all over the place and you feel like you have to catch up on your day.
So you sit up in bed and you just sit there for 5 minutes.
So I wake up at 20, my first alarm at 4:20.
Like a
just
zombie.
To say,
you sit there like a zombie, just staring into middle distance.
If I didn't have those 5 minutes, I'd be grumpy as ever here.
Okay.
So that's why my first alarm just says, okay, it's time to get your mind in place. Then I'm still in bed and at like, you know, 4:25, then it's now like, okay, get up, get out of bed. And then I start just slugging around the house, getting my bag together. Then I go into the bathroom. So all of these things, it's at a slower pace, but it's important to me. Yeah.
I saw a dude at the airport on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And he was flying and he had the stupidest bag for a guy. I don't really even notice these things, but it was a Louis Vuitton bag. All right. But it was it was almost like a girl's vanity bag. It's a square box.
Mm.
Okay.
Imagine a square box with two handles, mm-hmm. almost like it should be a handbag or a lunchbox.
But it was hard.
Yeah.
So it's a box. Okay.
And this was, he was carrying this around. Now I thought to myself, you know what? This is obviously a guy who has no, this is very new money. Maybe he's got tenders or whatever, because no one would buy a piece of shit bag like that. I don't care if it's Louis Vuitton. For a man, there is no use for a bag like that. There's no way.
What if it was the girlfriend or the wife's bag?
No, it was his. Maybe he was putting shit in it. And
makeup artist?
No, he's not. Yeah. No, he looked like he was a DJ or a... Yeah, he was wearing this big, loud leather jacket. He had red shades on with like diamante stuff on the side. But he was a supposedly straight dude because he was talking on the phone very loudly to another dude about which girls were coming to a party. Oh. So you could hear there was like was planning afoot.
Oh no!
But he had this stupid bag. Now I was so tempted. I mean, it's probably his pride and joy, right? Mm. He probably spent, I don't know how much a bag like that would cost. Sia, do you have any idea? A Louis Vuitton bag that size?
I know just a standard tiny Louis Vuitton handbag is at least 20 grand.
Okay, so he's probably spent, let's say, less than that. Let's say 10 grand. Half, okay?
You'd be lucky, but let's go.
Let's just say he spent 10 grand on this. This is a shit bag. There is no reason. There's no, like, utility for a bag like that. Especially if you're flying. You have a tug bag, or you have a bag with wheels, or you have... And you get nice Louis Vuitton ones, if that's what he's into. If he's into conspicuous consumption and showing off that he has no class and only buys things that will make him look like he knows what class is. But let's give him the credit.
Okay. Right?
Let's say he loves this bag. What do you put in a bag like that? You can't put clothes in. It's too small for that. You can't put shoes in. You can't put...
Does his laptop fit in there?
No.
Papers.
Well, I don't know what
you use it for.
That's my point. Is it's a stupid thing to have. I looked at this. Obviously, you know, it must be some... It's something he bought for himself. It's important to him in some way, or else he's showing off to other people.
Maybe it was a gift.
Who would buy a
And
gift?
He was visiting that person that day.
Who would buy let's say it's 10 or 20 grand for a bag. Why would you ever buy anyone a gift that's that expensive, that's so lacking in utility?
Mm.
Like, I know that a bag like that is made for idiots.
What did you want? What if you could have, what would you have said to him?
No, I would have said to him, did Louis Vuitton give you that? Did they force that onto you? Because why would they even have designed a bag that's that stupid.
Oh.
But he was, you know, clearly, I mean, he had a big watch on, and he had these big loud sneakers on, and...
He was a real show-off.
Yeah. This guy was, he wanted everyone to know. And I mean, he was coming from Durban in a heavy leather jacket on a day where I was wearing just a t-shirt and I was hot. So don't tell me he was comfortable.
Sure.
Big leather jacket with like... studs all over it.
Oh,
with
new
like,
money, man.
Like a word, yeah.
New money's out to play.
Big time. I mean, this guy's obviously got too much cash and no sense at all. This bag had me confounded. I was looking at it for, I don't know, I must have looked at it for 20 minutes trying to figure out.
I can just imagine your face.
I was trying
this kind of look of disgust.
Well, I was like, what do you put in there? How do you have, you can't fit an A4 page in there without bending it. Can't put a laptop in, you can't put clothes in. What function could it have? And why would you not give that bag back to them and get a bag that's practical and useful? If you want a showy bag, that's fine. Everybody's allowed to have their thing that's showy. Some people like watches, some people like sunglasses, some people like shoes, some people like jewelry. You're allowed to have that stuff. But a bag like that is dumb, dumb, dumb. And I want to go around to Louis Vuitton and see if I can find it there and say to them, what the fuck is that for? Because it's been bothering me for 3 days.
People watching is so fascinating.
What is it for? Like, I need to know what that bag does. The person who made it needs to explain themselves to me.
Is it one of these? Like one of these hard...
No, it was like a hard...
Oh, okay.
Box.
No, this is like part of their... collection, like the iconic old luggage. They call it like their hardback edition.
All right, if you're
edition.
Sophia Loren or
it's
Audrey
like a not,
Hepburn
not to that day.
In the 1930s, and yes. you got your makeup in there, let's say.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. This is a guy, a straight dude.
But you know, like the era of people carrying, what do they call them? Hat boxes.
Yes, and shipping trunks and that kind of... Okay, fine. But this guy was not.
Okay.
This guy's not going to win.
Yeah, I'm trying to help him out here, but it's not helping. Okay.
It's bad. It was bad.
But at least, yeah, it makes sense. Louis Vuitton does that every now and then.
Yeah, they bring out stuff that they know dumb people are going to buy and show off. I mean, they must be laughing. There must be someone in the design workshop or in the factory or in the studio that puts these. They must be going, let's see if we can make something so stupid that these people will waste their money on it. And not just a little bit of money. It's not like he bought a key ring or a USB charging pouch or whatever. I mean, because they make stupid stuff like that. They make a billion accessories for a cell phone these days. A laptop sleeve. I mean, at least that's practical. This is they sat there and they went, let me figure out the most useless size and shape of box I can possibly come up with and then see which idiots buy it and put those guys on the mailing list because they'll buy anything.
People watching is the fun, one of the best moments I have in life. Just getting fun out of it, being in Diamond Walk in Sandton, that's really where you see
that's where you get those, right?
Ostentatious, new money vibes. And also over the past couple of weeks, just traveling for work. Friday night flights, you see these weird creeps come out. So I think it was two Fridays ago and I was flying back to Joburg. It was probably 10 p.m. And as we were waiting,
like that light, I can't do those late flights. It always feels like a waste of a day.
And it was like the only option I had flying back. Mm-hmm. And I was waiting for my luggage in the around the carousel. And there was this man on his phone and he was trying his best to stand in the corner because he was video calling.
Oh.
And you could now piece together that he was video calling his significant other. But I'm like, Mr. Man, couldn't you wait until you were in the car before you were on
the
way?
Was she naked? Could you see she was naked?
So we couldn't see, but we could make out in the conversation.
Wow.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, you know, people just don't understand that there are other people around. And goes, you can tell this is... Like, yes!
That's sort of cold.
I was like, and turn around, baby. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Oh, I can't. That's so awkward.
So Louis Vuitton, man, little video calling, man. Like, it's people are just weird. You know, everyone has their little weird thing.
I don't know. I get in there and I get out and I do what I need to do. I don't faff about with phone calls and fancy luggage.
But when you haven't seen your significant other for, you know.
Practical Leanne Moore.
3 weeks.
Very.
Good for you. All right, 6:30. That means it's time for the 5 things you need to know. What do you want to know? Huh? Choose. Pick a number.
Oh.
3. Are you allergic to that one? All right.
2.
1.
Well guessed. Well guessed. You got 3.
Right on the money.
Huh?
Good projection there.
Yeah. You got 3. All right. The legal battle between former President Jacob Gedleyihle Zuma and the DA has finally been set down in the High Court in Pretoria for Tuesday. Now, let me just try and remember what the DA's problem with him is this time. Oh, they've set aside 2 days to determine whether Zuma was entitled to use taxpayers' funds to fight corruption charges against him. What do you think? What do you think? I mean, should a politician be able to use taxpayers' funds to fight corruption charges?
Nope.
It's just no. Just
an
no.
Obvious no, right?
So does this need to go to court?
Well, everything in this country. Tom Moyani gets fired for being absolutely useless at his job and deceitful and fraudulent and corrupt. And then he says, no, I'm gonna take it to court. He thinks the court's going to save him somehow. The DA lodged an application in March this year when it asked the court to set aside the government's decision to pay for legal fees incurred by Zuma. So actually, they should be taking the government to court. Because why would the government say, sure, we'll pay his fees? We shouldn't. This man was involved in so many court cases. I'm surprised he even shows his face in public. Anyway, in court last August, his legal team, headed by advocate Mike Helens, indicated that they would bring an application for a permanent stay of prosecution, but have since abandoned the idea of reviewing the charges against him. The outcome, of the DA application is likely to determine whether the South African government will continue to pay for Zuma's legal fees. So actually, this is kind of important. You know, if you're going to vote for the DA, there are so few reasons. But all right, if you're going to vote for the DA, this is a good reason. Because at least they're saving some of your money from paying for this wastrel of a former president of ours. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
So agreed. There's a good thing. There's some interesting news for this morning. And while we're talking about people paying for things and people's stuff being seized, AfriForum have obtained a warrant to seize Julius Malema's movable assets. Now, what do you think this is about? Do you think they're just being nasty? Let me explain. AfriForum have confirmed they've obtained a warrant to seize Julius's stuff for legal fees, to recover legal fees. What is it with Jacob and Julius about their legal fees?
Do they just presume they don't have to pay.
They don't think they have to pay. Now, I went to court. I took Mnet to court, what's it now, three or four years ago.
Yeah.
Right? It was monstrous because these guys were a mega... They had 14 lawyers and like three advocates. I pitched up with Eric Mabuza and Dalimpov. Two people.
John Legend.
Yeah. He looks like John Legend, Eric Mabuza. Anyway, so I arrived there with my little two lawyers. Do you know that it cost me, even though I won with costs, it still cost me a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And a lot of money. I'm talking a couple of hundred thousand rand.
Jeez.
And I won. These guys, Julius and Jacob, they keep losing. So it costs them much, much more because then they have to pay for the opposing counsel, usually. Usually their legal costs awarded to the winner, right? And they don't pay themselves. Somehow someone else is meant to pay.
No sense of responsibility.
Right. So I'm with AfriForum here. They say the warrant received from the North Gauteng High Court will be given to the sheriff to identify and auction off assets owned by Malema. In 2017, the group challenged the EFF ahead in court for what they say was inciting people to grab land. The High Court ruled in favor of them in March. Again, I didn't hear much about that at the time. But the group says since then, Malema has failed to pay the outstanding legal fees. So they're going again. You're going to go and get it. They're going to sell his stuff. Whatever crap he's probably got one of those Louis Vuitton bags.
That's at least.
Now every asshole has one of those.
25K. Yeah.
All right. El Chapo is facing his trial. Who's going to pay his legal fees?
Someone.
Probably us. Somehow.
El Chapo and his family still have money.
El Chapo, the extradited Mexican drug lord, he is going to be put on trial on Monday in federal court in Brooklyn, where he's facing drug trafficking and conspiracy charges. Prosecutors, defense lawyers, U.S. District Judge Brian Cogan will start by choosing jurors for what is expected to be a four-month trial. In a sign of the level of attention on the case and the notoriety of the defendant, the jury will be kept anonymous. Well, you can imagine if they weren't.
Yeah, they fear for their lives.
Guzman, who's 61, formerly led the Sinaloa cartel, named after its base in the Mexican state of Sinaloa. U.S. authorities have described the group as one of the most powerful drug trafficking organizations in the world. Guzman, known as El Chapo, a reference to his 5'6" height, is often translated in English as Shorty. Yo, Shorty!
Oh, El Chapo. I was thinking of, what was that creature, El Chupacabra?
Chupacabra. It's a monster that lives in the Mexican desert.
Yes.
It's half dog, half person, and has aspects of some monster in them as well. I don't know. I can't remember what it looks like, but it's fucking scary. Take my word for it. Naledi Pandor is pleased with NISFAS. Progress is in clearing a backlog. Yeah, you want to hear
her
about
her American accent.
That Naledi Pandor with that fake American accent.
Hong, hong, hong.
Right. Shame this poor woman. Higher Education and Training Minister Naledi Pandor says she's pleased with the progress the National Student Financial Aid Scheme has made so far in clearing its payments backlog. Well, someone's doing something good. I'm pleased she's in charge of higher education and training because it can only be better than Blade, but I don't hear a lot coming from her. Let's just hope she's quietly going about her business. Usually when you don't hear from politicians, it's a good sign.
It's early. Not like with toddlers where when it's quiet,
no, then
it's
you
a
need
bad
to worry.
Sign.
Yeah. Earlier this year, the financial aid scheme halted the process to clear payments for students who have been waiting for their money since last year. With less than a month left until applications for the 2019 academic year close, NSFAS says it's received over 190,000 entries. You see, most people who apply for these things can't afford university. But they're also the people who are joining the fees must fall protests.
Mm.
So which way do you want it?
Yeah.
I'm confused. Anyway, we'll leave that alone for the moment and come back to it some other time.
I was chatting to my mom's carer, whose son is in grade 3 or 5, I can't remember which one.
She's becoming a regular on the show. We spoke
about
it
yesterday.
Well,
she's with us 24/7, you know.
Sure.
But she had to go and pay her son's school fees.
Yes.
How much do you think school fees for a government school are per year?
For someone in grade 3 or 5,
I don't know.
2,500 rand.
For the year?
Yeah.
400 rand.
Is that it?
Oh.
I'm so glad to hear that it's really affordable.
That is good.
I don't know what it means for the teachers.
Yeah, it's probably bad news. I mean,
but 400 bucks for a year.
Good.
Jeepers.
All right. Education should be very cheap.
Yeah.
Of course, you should be getting quality for that money because that's what we don't want to see. We don't want to see you getting your kid gets to the end of the year and you're like, this is a 400 rand education.
When I was in school, mine was roughly about 100 to 150 a year.
That's it?
Yep.
Whoa.
Look at you.
That was the budget.
That was a good deal.
What a shock, Jesus, though, when you get to varsity.
Yeah. Right. This is the point. This is why you need NSFAS, right?
Mm.
Okay, well, there's a bit of a wake-up call. I didn't realize it was a couple of hundred. I thought it would be a couple of thousand rand.
Mm.
I went to a government school. How come they ripped me off? Yeah. I know they asked me for it. I know my parents paid more than that, motherfuckers. Mm. What? Why did I have to pay so much more?
I remember it being a lot more for me,
They saw me coming. I went to a normal Model C government school.
Yeah.
How did I end up paying so much and Nolo so little? That doesn't seem right. Nolo, I want your financial advisor.
I don't know why it's like 7,000 rings a bell or 4,000 or something.
Yeah, somewhere like
that. I know. I matriculated. It was 23,000 rands.
Yeah. Sia, poor Sia got ripped off the most.
You see? You see?
Wow.
Jeez.
All right, Public Enterprises Minister Pravin Gordhan. It's all about the ministers this morning. Pravin Gordhan and the South African Airways CEO, Vuyo Jarana, have moved to allay concerns following comments by Tito Mboweni about the future of the airline. Of course, you know what happens whenever people talk about the future of something like SAA, and it's a disaster, and they've got to shut it down, and that's what Tito said. But when you say that, all the workers there go, what's going to happen to us? I mean, justifiably, right?
Yeah,
you'd be worried.
That's scary. Although, I mean, people who work there have had a fair amount of warning that their employers are in trouble.
Right. What did you guys think was going to happen? Mm. You know? Anyway, he told at an investor conference in New York that there's no need for the state to run an airline it cannot afford, and we spoke about this yesterday. On Monday, Gordhan visited SAA staff in Kempton Park to assure them there won't be any closure of the parastatal. So who do we believe? We said it would take 3 years to break even. There are no miracles. We cannot have a silver bullet overnight, and it takes you to a break-even point. We're ahead of that plan, by the way, in terms of performance today. That's what Pravin said. He told SAA staff the airline has a good reputation, which is worth saving. Well, not anymore. Might have once. He's urged workers to work harder to save the business.
No, they're not going to want to. But imagine how low morale must be.
But how can they? They can't save the business. It's not the workers who've been badly running this thing. It's the management.
Mm.
Management have run this thing into the ground. You must place your blame fairly and squarely at the hands of people like Dudu Mieni. You cannot blame the workers. Ordinary SAA workers are not to be blamed for this. Of course, they've got to deal with the realities, right? The thing is not going to work. It's not going to last. It's going to have to be sold off or broken down or made profitable. And the latter is obviously preferable, but I don't know that it can because so much money has been pilfered and stolen away. We have no assets in SAA. There's nothing worth buying. And that is the fault of management.
Mm.
So these workers shouldn't be calling Praveen and Tito in and saying, hey, what the F? They should be calling in Dudu Mieni. They should find her in wherever she's living at the moment. Bring her in and say, all right, come, you sit here and account to us. Because before you took over, we weren't in as bad a position as when you left. So explain what happened in that period. Because she hasn't been called in and asked to explain herself to the workers. She may have been called into Parliament, and she was very ill when they called her in. She was so sick she couldn't come in, remember?
Oh, well, we can't postpone. We can't see you on another day. Well, we just drop the cause.
No, it's fine. She's been to Parliament to tell her friends why. Because those are her friends in Parliament. It's like me saying to Leanne, you know, I'm sorry I didn't make it last Thursday. I had something on. And she's like, oh, it's okay, we're friends. It's not so much with the workers. These workers may lose all that they have. Everything. No, she should explain to them why. And then above her, Jacob Zuma. And the then Minister of Public Enterprises, Malusi Gigaba. They should all be explaining. Not Tito, not Praveen. Those are the guys who drove this operation into the ground. They need to be held to account. Just saying, if they're not, you're wasting your time. All right, Ben's not here because this is the new way of things. So on Mondays and Tuesdays, Leanne will be joining us as well as on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
Hooray.
So very nice.
Best days of the week. Leanne loves Mondays.
Yes, I wait all weekend for them.
Yes, because she's depressed. And then on Tuesdays, she feels a bit better. And then by Friday, she's excited about Monday again.
Yes, Friday's the closest to Monday.
If you think this means you're not going to get enough Ben in your life, don't panic. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So you get Ben 3 times a week, Leanne 3 times a week. Then you're going to get Gord Laws on a Wednesday. People mm-hmm. are excited about that. So very tomorrow, nice. Gord will make his triumphant return. If we can get his sick, tired old body out of the bed.
Yes, I've heard. He's.
Oh my God, he's about to, he's on the doorsteps of death.
Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
Hello, Gord. This is a call. This is how Gord sounds on the phone. Got that death rattle in his voice.
Oh, same.
That's him. So he'll be on Wednesdays. Then Thursdays are going to be exciting because we're going to have a variety of really cool people in. People like...
Ooh, is it a variety show?
Like Tumi Morake. Dun, da, da, da. Come on, give me a round of applause.
Yeah. Very good.
We love her. We love Tumi. She's a part of the family. The other one that we could have in is Nina Hasty.
Oh.
Very nice.
I don't know why I'm barking.
And occasionally we will have Pumi Mashiko, who we had in here just a little while ago, and she was a big hit. People liked her a lot. Plus, of course, on a Thursday we have the Burning Platform, which is whoever it is that week who's the most well-positioned to give us the lowdown on the stories in the news. That's brought to you by Nando's. And of course, because what's that?
See, and I are trying to whistle like, in a, you know, when you're excited, clapping.
Yeah, you guys are going.
Okay, wait, I could. What? There we go. Yeah.
That was terrible. Let's get to Said by Sia, shall we? Before we hurt ourselves? How about that?
Yeah, it becomes even more embarrassing.
Sia, take it away.
So this is interesting because it sounds like this beginning of a very bad joke. But a Buddhist monk walks into Khayelitsha. What do you get from that? Well, his name is Jen Kelsang Pagba.
He's I know him.
Do you?
Well, sounds familiar.
He's a great guy.
I think he's the guy who sold me that saffron spice the other day at the market.
Has it been boding you well?
I don't know if it's done me any good.
He's actually originally from the UK, but he's been living in South Africa for a while. Mm-hmm. And whatever side of the fence you stand on, but meditation supposedly has a lot of great benefits, especially if you started at grassroots level with young people. Mm-hmm. So he's actually been devoting a lot of his afternoons by spending time in Khayelitsha, working with primary school and high school pupils and teaching them various meditation classes and half-day courses, and sometimes with the proper support, he even hosts retreats for young kids in Khayelitsha around meditation. So Jen Kelsang Pagba, what a cool name, by the way. Particularly, he's been giving meditation classes at Kosat High School in Khayelitsha since 2013. And supposedly, the parents there, the pupils and the staff, all really side by him and advocate how amazing it is, and what the effects of the meditation has been. They say that his motto is no excuses, only success. And really, the high results that the pupils have been achieving at school following these meditation classes are actually the proof in the pudding, really. So Aviwe, who's 15 years old, took some of these classes, and he says, after the retreat last year, I remember having a feeling that everything was golden. He says, I felt a sense of love for everyone and everything in a way that I'd never experienced before. Aluto, who's also 15, says, if we have inner peace, then we realize that there are things we thought we couldn't do because we did not discover our pure selves. Doesn't this sound profound for 15-year-olds? You're like me when I try to whistle. And then Sinalo said, through meditation, I learned about patience, endurance, showing kindness without expecting anything in return, and also how to attain inner peace. I've learned how to actually be truly happy. For 15-year-olds to speak like this, you know, whatever, really, as I said, whichever side of the fence you stand on.
Yes.
But now to hear 15-year-olds speak like this, and for Jen Kelsang Pagba.
And Jen Kelsang Pagba, I mean, for me, you
in
know,
his spare time,
almost in the
cool.
vein of Sri Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada.
Ah, the great one.
The great one.
Mm.
Who taught me everything I know about transcendental meditation.
Look at the shining example he left us with today.
Yeah, look at me. I'm such a well-conditioned human being. You would love to encounter me on the street, wouldn't you? You'd fucking scream and run away with your hair on fire.
Hey, to each his own. If this is working for Kosat, I think that's cool. That's your ZBICL for this morning.
All right. Friends of mine in the United States are preparing today for Election Day.
Ah, yes. The midterm elections.
The final speeches have been said.
Right. So one of my friends says, in a show of support today, I will selflessly neglect my work.
Oh.
I will be playing a solo Election Day drinking game at home with the help of the news. Here are the rules.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Every time Trump lies, one shot. I'm going to be drunk in
so
2
drunk.
Minutes. CNN calls out Trump's lie. One shot. Trump throws Sarah Sanders under the bus. One, mm-hmm. 2 shots.
Oh.
Sarah Sanders finally cracks and turns into the girl from The Ring. 3 shots. A Fox anchor tosses Trump's salad. Eye drops. Trump's hairpiece is actually Cousin It. 3 shots. The migrant caravan was actually led by Forrest Gump the whole time. You have to eat a box of chocolates.
Ooh.
Obama rap battles Trump. 4 shots. Trump is presidential and uninflammatory. Bottle of tequila.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Republicans keep the House. Bottle of Jack. Mm. Democrats win the House. Bottle of organic, zero-harm, locally farmed cider.
Nice.
All right. Those are the rules. You going to do it?
Sure. It must be really exciting.
But here's the funny thing, though. We hear all of these phrases. We know what happens. But what are the midterm elections is actually the second most Google question right now over the past couple of days.
Oh, people don't know what they are?
No.
And let me see.
I vaguely understand what it means, but I even don't know what the results of these midterm elections
okay.
can.
Do you want a quick explanation?
Yeah.
All right.
Because supposedly there are a set of elections that take place every 4 years, halfway into a U.S. president's 4-year term.
So yeah. You want to tell me, or do you want me to
no.
tell you?
Let me not read the Googler. You tell us.
Only if you really want to know, though. Because if you're bored, I don't want to tell you.
Uh-huh. There are 2 kinds of elections in the United States of America. There are 2 kinds. That's 2 kinds of elections.
There's a presidential election. They have that every 4 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where you vote for a president.
And you're allowed to vote for him. He can serve 2 terms.
Correct.
Okay.
No more.
Now, it doesn't matter what party he's from because you vote for a president. presidential election. Sometimes simultaneously, but occasionally not. You might also have your congressman to elect or your senator. Senators, I think, have 4-year terms. Congress people have 2-year terms. So every 2 years, you're voting for your congressperson. So those are congressional elections. A senator, each state gets 2 senators. So you vote for them often at the same time as the presidential election, but sometimes not.
Okay.
Depends on each state. But what's up for grabs this time round is the Congress, the House as they call it, and the Senate. Congress is the word for both. So we call ours Parliament, and in our Parliament we have the normal chamber of Parliament, the normal place where all the debates happen, which we see on TV, where the president goes to give a state of the nation, blah, blah, blah. And then we also have a House of Traditional Leaders, or an upper house, which is kind of a remnant of what they have in England. The first Parliament ever was in England. They have 2 houses, the House of Commons, House of Lords. House of Commons is people who get elected by people in different areas of the UK. The House of Lords is used to be inherited, titular landowners, right? That obviously is different now. Most parliaments have 2 chambers, one to check the other. Together they are called in America Congress, in the UK Parliament, and in South Africa Parliament. But they're also known as the legislature.
Right.
So what you're looking for in America is this election is all about the House and the Senate. What they're saying is going to happen, this is what people are predicting, is that the House will go to the Democrats. It has been a Republican House for some time now. They're saying it'll turn and go to the Democrats. And they say the Senate will stay Republican. Donald Trump's party is the Republicans at the moment.
So you could have 2 of them being Democrats.
Yes.
And the president being a Republican.
Yes. Sure. And sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
That happened under Bill Clinton.
Do you know why not all of the states are voting for their next governor? That's something I heard in the news, and I wasn't clear.
Governor,
about.
You get a gubernatorial election, governor's election.
Wait, is that a real word?
Yes, gubernatorial. But that's like a governor is like a president of the state, but he's mostly a ceremonial head, right? The governor does have some executive authority, but they're not as important as the senators when it comes to making laws. Because there's the federal. You see, U.S. is complicated because it's also got the federal government and then the state government. So you vote for your state governor and you vote for your president of your country.
And this is when you sometimes get those weird laws in a state that are different to the national laws.
Because the U.S. is a federal republic. It's not a democracy. A democracy means one man, one vote. All votes count equally. And you vote for one national government, right? A republic is where you send representatives, republic, to a parliament to vote on your behalf. The people of that country don't take part in every decision. They nominate elected representatives to do that for them.
Okay.
Is this boring? Yes.
No, it makes sense.
You're being so polite, it's boring.
No, well, I asked because, once again, if we look at the fact that what are the midterm elections being the second most Google thing, I think a lot of us, we hear these terms, we see this in the news, we're at dinner table conversations, people bring this up and you nod to go along with it, but you don't really understand. Okay.
Well, do you want to hear
something
today?
Let's
speak to former Vice President Dan Quayle, who was the vice president to George H.W. Bush all those years ago.
Okay.
George W. Bush's dad, all right? He explains democracy.
The freedom that is based in the people that then elect their representatives to represent them in a free representative democracy that we have today.
Right. You understand now?
Representative.
Yes, correct. That's it. What do you say, Mr. Obama?
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant mother like you.
Okay, sorry. I shouldn't have said anything.
That's another way to look at it.
Wow. All right. So much to do this morning. Let me give you a little preview of who we're going to be talking to a bit later on. Stevens Mokgalapa is an MP and president of Africa's Liberal Network. I'm very excited to talk to him. I bumped into him not so long ago. I'm going to talk about liberalism in Africa. What is liberalism? What kind of a future does it have on this continent? Who are its biggest supporters and advocates? And why should we care? Right?
Yeah. That I'd like
Are you
to
happy
know
with
that.
That? Yes. You want to know the answers to those questions? Well, you're in luck. But wait, there's more.
As luck would have it.
Yes, I know. I'm very excited to speak to Stevens. And he could probably explain some of this republic democracy shit to you a lot better than I can.
No pressure.
Then we haven't spoken to this man yet, but he's been doing a show with us for the longest time. Clip Course is the Clip Course podcast. It became the first Afrikaans program on cliffcentral.com. I mean, you know, you could say Casper De Vries was, but Casper really does a bit of English, bit of Afrikaans, bit of singing, bit of dancing, lots of gay, lots of atheist.
Lots of gay, lots of atheist.
You know, that's a real mixed bag. Whereas Jacques' podcast is called Clip Course. It's mostly to do with African entrepreneurs, impact makers, the people who can give you advice on how to develop your business. And they're on their 97th podcast. And we're going to speak to Jacques Basson, who is the host of Clip Course. And we talk about some of the people he's interviewed, Boer Bosch and Frans Cronier, Kobus Visa, Ruan Vos, Gert-Jan Kutsier, loads of really interesting entrepreneurs. And find out more about him at the same time. All right?
They're the front part of a mullet, whereas Casper's the back part of
yes,
a mullet.
Yes, Casper's the back of the mullet. That's right.
Wow.
All right, do you want to speak to Ngobile Ngema?
Okay.
Hey, Ngobile, what's wrong?
Nothing is wrong.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, wow. Why would you assume something's wrong?
I don't know. You just, you know, it's very odd that we get a call at like 7:02. Is there an emergency?
Oh, no. Oh, I actually didn't see the time. I actually just woke up now. I thought, hey, let me call Garrett. I haven't seen you guys in a while. I've been out of commission, basically.
Dude, you never need an excuse. What's up?
No, man. I just want to say I love Trump.
You love Trump?
Oh, my God. I love Trump so much. You know what? For the past 3 years now, I've been very close, paying close attention to the American politics. And you know what? The dude is actually is doing way better than what Bush did. Factually, you can actually check. He's done way better than Obama has done. I don't know about Clinton. But this guy, yes, he says crude things. He's a crude guy. What do you expect? But for him to be labeled a racist, I have not seen any evidence as a racist.
You are just as good as Kanye West. You are my second most favorite black person after Kanye West. Because
you know how they say he's winning. He's winning every day. He doesn't stop winning. And you know what? And here's the thing. What I don't like is our South African media is basically perpetuating what the CNNs are doing instead of being objective.
Well,
what people now are just saying.
Where do you think they get all their ideas from? Come on.
No, you see, I don't know where they get their ideas. Everybody will say it's the deep state and all that fancy whatnot, but I don't know. But if you look, I'm sure you've seen like your conservatives in the American side where you have your Ben Shapiro's and you have your other guys in your Tucker Carlson. But then you listen to CNN. I can't watch CNN anymore, nor listen and actually appreciate them anymore. In fact, ever since Larry King left, in my opinion, they've lost me. Because the integrity
fake news.
Yes, but here's the thing. We as South Africans actually should heed what we should actually see what Donald Trump is doing and take it into stride and actually use this not to vote for guys like Julius Malema. Because this, to me, as much as he's a populist, right. This actually shows and indicates that if we vote people like Julius Malema in, there will be a disaster for
all
this
right.
country.
Let's pretend that you didn't call into my show. Let's pretend that you had, let's pretend you had no taste at all. And you called into a show that doesn't respect your individual sovereignty at all right? Let's imagine you called into a pile of shit like Eusebius McKeyser's show. Let's imagine that. You can smell the stink all around from the puerile and low level of intellectual discourse that's going on. Let's imagine that. You know what he's going to say to you? I'm going to pretend to be him for a second.
Please.
You are an Uncle Tom. You are.
Yes, I am.
You are a house nigger. That's what he would call you. You support Trump because you have been brainwashed or you have a mental illness, like they said about Kanye West. So you don't count. And plus, where is your tribal identity? And plus, how dare you turn your back on the Democrats who have been the party that that have done more for black people than the Republicans? What do you say to that?
Oh, I have such a brilliant answer. Yes, I am an Uncle Tom if it means I have an independent mind whereby I'm not controlled by a mob mentality. And secondly, yes, the Democratic Party has done a lot for the black people in keeping them oppressed and keeping them as they say, in chains, as Joe Biden has famously said, we're going to get Joe back in chains. Well, he didn't say that. He meant it to Mitt Romney.
He
said
Mitt Romney was going to do that.
Yes, but here's the point.
How dare you have an independent mind when people are trying to collectivize you?
No. You see, here's the thing. I am an individual, but people don't want to recognize me as an individual. They want to see me as a black Zulu man, which is a very interesting thing. But then you get categorized as a black Zulu man who's a violent taxi driving owner who is a... sheepskins and all that stuff.
I didn't bring in your work. I didn't bring up your job.
So here's the thing for me is that people need to actually take this seriously. And I'm talking about as an observer from a South African perspective. As in, look at what Donald Trump is doing. Donald Trump, as much as his words are just,
isn't he a racist?
Nope, he's not.
That's what they always show say.
Show me where, define, you see, here's the thing. They always shift the goalposts as in what is racism? It's the same thing as blows our identity. You know what? This is where I would love to quote Jordan Peterson because I love this guy. I'm reading his book, actually, and it's amazing. As in, identity politics is basically cancer, in my opinion. It is cancer. For us to say, ooh, black, white, this, that, male, female. And that's another thing, as in, we're dividing ourselves so much and we're putting ourselves as these identities, we basically lose who you are. Now you're critical. But aren't you a Zulu man? Aren't Zulu man like this? No, I am Ngobile, and Ngobile does A, B, and C. I just happen to be Zulu.
All right. Well, I think you're going to like what Stevens has to say just now.
Oh, I'd love to, man. Nice. But yeah, guys, I have missed y'all. And I didn't even know that Leon Mould is back. Hello.
I know.
Hi.
Look at that. All right, dude. Thanks, man.
Bye, guys.
Good to talk to you. Listen, good luck with that because you're going to meet resistance your whole life long.
Oh, at work. You know what? At work, they're already on my ass. Like, my manager is like, but Nkabile, isn't it like this? And I'm like, I understand you, ma'am, and I love you because she's a beautiful woman. But you know, she is who she is, and she has her opinions. Fair enough. But I explained to her kindly, like, you know what? As much as you would say, my love, you know, this is my view, and we shouldn't be taking, you know, mob mentality. She's like, oh, King Kapile, and I love her for the fact that she accepts my opinion. But yes, I'm yet to meet a English speaking person who can pronounce my name effectively first time around.
Jeez. Well, you do have the most complicated of the clicks in your name, so
isn't it?
Mobile.
X.
Mobile.
Is it a C?
No, Nkobile.
Yeah. All right. Well, don't show off now. Listen. Anyway, dude, I wish you luck. You're gonna have so many arguments in your life, and not just around the Q in your name, but everything else. Your political opinions.
Of course, and never mind my political, even economics. People do not like, you know what, I used to have a conversation with you about socialism, and I would gladly say I have actually now gone 180. All I'm going to say for now, because I know you guys got a busy schedule.
I don't want to take any responsibility for changing any opinion of yours. I could get into serious trouble, but thank you, dude.
No, it's not you, actually, funny enough. It's good. Peter Schrift.
Good. Well, there we go. That's much better. Quote some proper authority. Don't come to me.
But you are good, though, Gareth. Right. You underplay yourself.
All right. Listen, go numb. Why don't you go and aggressively drive a taxi or something? Stereotypical.
Of course. And I'm going to bring up my shambok and start beating up people with my AK-47 on the other hand. Of course.
All right. Good luck, man. Have a happy day. All right, bro. Wow.
Oh, Nobile.
She says.
Nobile. What?
Nobile. La Clabile.
Nobile.
Oh, I've still got a list on my phone of all the names that white people struggle with. And occasionally I pull it out, like, if there are a whole lot of white people at a dinner party or something, and I pass it around.
Just
and
to amuse yourself.
They have to say it. And then, because I sometimes get them wrong. Sometimes.
Nospeklingesh.
That's a good one. But there are a couple of names that are just hilarious, especially if you hear like older people say them. They can't say them.
Don't worry, it's a tit for tat. Because when it comes to Irish names, me and my people also, we read SAU.
Yeah. Like Llewellyn.
Llewellyn.
Don't know what's a Shire Vaughan, a Cy Vaughan. Don't worry.
Yeah.
We're in this together.
Nobody knows. Shire Vaughan. All right. Listen, we've got lots to do. Plenty to talk about this morning. We will take your calls on 0861-555-189 like Ngobile called in. If you want to get hold of us on Skype, you can do that too. That's pretty easy to do. And if you want to message us, 0797482090. That's the whole list, right? Did I leave anything out? I think that's it.
0861-555-189.
I gave that number.
Oh, then we're done. Now let's judge what I'm doing. CliffCentral.com.